Hello there, this is Nina, and we are gathered for the 21st episode of the Audible Weed Walk. Cyclone Nivar is history now, and there are few more systems brewing in the bay before the northeastern monsoon or returning monsoon time ends for Tamil Nadu, and thus the monsoon for the rest of India. If you remember, the day of the formerly eating greens, the uncultivated wild greens, started in Bengal with the onset of the no moon or Amavasya in the month of Kartik by the Bengali calendar. When I posted the podcast, my friend Risha from Assam also confirmed that in Assam too, they observe same or similar festivities at the same time about eating greens. You see, Assam and Bengal experiences southwestern monsoon. That technically has ended some time back, and hence the time for eating greens and festivities associated with that has also started a bit early. In Bengal, the Kartik has given way to the next month, Agrayan or Augran. But in an agrarian nation, the calendars were made differently in different parts of the country. I find this so awesome and interesting. No, it is not one size that fits all. Each has made their own system that best suited and connected to their land. Tamil Nadu experiences northeastern monsoon, which comes after the southwestern monsoon ends. I would think it is most appropriate that its calendar adjusts to that accordingly, and the local Kartikai Deepam, which is celebrated in the full moon night of the Kartik month as per the Tamil calendar, comes a bit later. It was on the 30th of November. Kartikai Deepam, as I had mentioned, finds its mention in the Sangam literature and the poems of Avayar. Peruvira, as it was then referred to, is one of the oldest festivals celebrated by the Tamil people. Every hut, every bungalow, every temple, light and mud lamps, and the lamps made with rice flowers are made and supposed to be lit by Iluppai Ennai or the Mahua oil. I find this very interesting, this gathering, lighting fire, reference to Mahua, can be found across different cultures in India, no matter how differently they are celebrated and how much at different times. I had the privilege of working in areas that are inhabited by indigenous people who at times could sort of maintain their traditional lifestyles. It is impossible to miss the importance of Mahua or Madhuka longifolia in the cultures of the people. While working in one of these areas in the Eastern Ghat, I had realized that while the forest itself is managed by the tribal people as an area of common resources, even then, the Mahua trees within the forest had designated stewards. And these stewardships were passed over generation. They were different from ownership. They are not owners, but they were kind of marked for certain families and certain people if they were Mahuas. In those lands where they still practice shifting cultivation, people gathered after the rain and collaborated and cooperated with each other in clearing the land. Do a controlled burn, and then set the land for the next sowing. And this they would then shift around and do for other people. So each family had their own little cultivation plot, which were worked on collectively by the community. Sometimes I wonder, are our festival of light a memory of such time and such lighting fire, gathering over fire and light? Who knows? I would love to read a research or a book on that, won't you? I will not delve into the wonderful stories of the Kartikai Deepam, but just wanted to highlight that Kartik, the son of Shiva, is supposed to be fire born out of the third eye of Shiva. In the month of Kartik or Kartikai, no matter which calendar you follow, whether it is celebrated in the no moon or full moon, we celebrate light and fire. Our food gets influenced too. In Tamil Nadu, the rain is ending, but it hasn't quite ended. The food recommended for the Kartikai festival is very similar to my last podcast, where I was exploring food to take safely after a weather event such as Nivar. Food includes the food that is recommended, and if you can see in the festival, these are the kind of food eaten, are food that are made out of puffed rice or flattened rice or aval. Dry food, they are easy to store. Then the use of milagu or black pepper. Traditionally, perhaps tippali or paipalongam was used. That igniting fire in food is a recommendation in both Ayurvedic and Siddha tradition, which will make digestion easier in this kind of season when rain, moisture, dampness is the kind of the going of the day. There is not much use of greens, have you noticed? It is the time to be cautious about greens and to let them grow and pick the young ones when they sprout. Vegetables for the festivities are a range of gourd or the squash family, unless the area is flooded, where such vegetable too will be avoidable until the new one comes. These are otherwise safe vegetables. Many of them climbs and grows on the shed of the roof of the houses or frame provided for them. That makes them entirely safe. Included in this affair is bitter gourd, also supposed to be taken as a good deworming and cleansing sauce. Similarly, as perhaps for most of for the same reasons that it's a climber and therefore can be safe. Local beans or avakai, this is the flat beans, are also part of the festival food. If you are an ardent weeder by now, a wild food eater, these are the clues that you can take to decide what to eat from the wild. Now or soon after the flood or a major rain event like we had, a cyclone, you can safely eat the following. Wild green that is edible and growing in your eye level or above. From the book, I would say some of them are Cannibalia beans, which must be just now the young and the tiny ones are coming out. They are safe to eat. Of course, pre-process them. Remember, Cannibalia needs to be boiled and water thrown, no matter in what stage you eat. Ivy gourd or Coccinia grandis, kovakai, the leaves of them. If they are not climbing but hugging ground, don't eat them. But often they are creepers and they climb. Have them. Musumusukai, Mukia madrespatana. The leaves of the balloon vine, Cardiospermum helicacabum. These are absolutely safe. Others not so high, but growing above the ground with shallow roots, you can eat. With deep roots, well, take your call. Of course, if you are growing your own taro, which is colocasia, and you are sure that the soil is fine, the water that is getting, even if it is a flooded, it's actually clean water, then you can eat stalks, leaves, of the plant. Corm, you can harvest and keep for a few days and eat it eventually, maybe in a week or so after such an event. If choosing millet-based snacks, because it is healthy, choose one that has least processing involved. For example, puffed amaranth seeds or rajgira, rather than cookies. Choose a local grain from your area, be it local variety of rice or millet. You do not know if you have the wild greens in your yard around you, do you? Why don't you take a walk? A lovely thing happened in Norfolk, UK recently. An endangered flowering plant called grass poly was thought to have come back from the dead when a pond was restored. Actually, what happened, people noticed it because they had time to take a walk and look around after the lockdown. Look around. There's a bounty around you. If nothing, it soothes your eyes and opens your heart. If you're serious about cooking, don't worry if it seems that you do not have enough to harvest. Even a handful of medley of these wild greens that you can have safely, put them in a pot. Put some raw papaya. There are plenty which has fallen right now. Spice it nicely, likely with some ginger, garlic, pearl onion. Put in some flavoring like lemon zest, lemon leaves, cilantro or culantro if you want a stronger smell, carpuravelli or the Mexican mint. Crush some nice black pepper and add them. Blend up a little or let it remain as is. With a squeeze of lemon salt and a heat to adjust, you have a lovely broth to help the fire of digestion in you and celebrate the light and the new beginning of the season once again. How is that? By the way, do not forget, tomorrow, which is 5th December, is the World Soil Day. Remember, a weedy soil is a good soil. Soil and climate speaks to us via the weeds. Let's listen. With that, I sign off for this week. See you next week. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Oroville Radio.